This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon. It's Friday, February 7th, and I'm Megan McNamara bringing you RCR's Daily Brief. Today's edition is short and sweet, with Jen Bainbridge here to take us through the key headlines of the day, followed by Natalie Cutler-Welsh with RCR Signpost, your go-to for the latest interviews, campaigns, and ways to take action. But before we get into it, I'd like to take a quick moment to celebrate a big milestone for RCR. Last night was the premiere of RCR 360, our brand new weekly video show. The topic? Democracy, under threat or evolving. RCR's Alastair Harding and Marie Buskey took a deep dive into democracy, looking at how Donald Trump's presidency continues to polarise perspectives on governance and what democracy looks like right here in New Zealand, featuring insights from Jeffrey Tucker and Elizabeth Rata. You can check out the show at www.rcr.media. Nat and I will touch on that later, but for now, let's get straight to the news.
Thank you, Megan. Good afternoon, I'm Jen Bainbridge for RCR. World leaders have condemned US President Donald Trump's plan to take over Gaza and force Palestinians to leave. Germany's Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock warned the plan would lead to new suffering and new hatred. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer says Palestinians must be allowed home to rebuild. Saudi Arabia also rejected the plan, stating that it would not establish diplomatic relations with Israel without an independent Palestinian state. Meanwhile, Israel's Minister of Defence, Israel Katz, told the Israeli Defence Force to prepare plans to allow Palestinians to leave. In a post on X, Katz also said the countries critical of Israel's war with Hamas were obligated to take them in, mentioning Spain and Ireland in particular. Back home, Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, who did not attend commemorations at the Waitangi Treaty Grounds, spoke at Ōnuku Marae in Akaroa instead. His speech highlighted how Ngāi Tahu's treaty settlement, finalised in 1998, allowed it to become a powerful and prosperous iwi, which has created a legacy that inspires us all. Meanwhile, Minister of Health Simeon Brown has reaffirmed the government's position that fluoride in drinking water is a safe, effective and affordable measure for improving oral health. His comments came after Rotorua Lakes Council requested that the minister withdraw the directive to fluoridate the town's drinking water until an independent inquiry had been completed. New Zealand's updated greenhouse gas reductions targets, aiming for a 51 to 55% decrease from 2005 levels by 2035, will not require large-scale planting of trees, according to Climate Change Minister Simon Watts. Federated Farmers and Beef and Lamb New Zealand claimed that significant afforestation would be needed, but Watts insists that a focus on renewable energy and agricultural technology would be sufficient. Back overseas, the Trump administration has signed an executive order banning so-called trans athletes from competing in women's sport in the US. The order required that all entities receiving federal funding must comply. After the ceremony, Trump declared the war on women's sports is over. Following the US withdrawal from the UN Human Rights Council, Israel has also pledged to leave the pact. Foreign Minister Gideon Saar accused the council of unfairly targeting Israel and accused the council of anti-Semitism. Israel has faced over 100 resolutions condemning its behaviour, more than Iran, Cuba, North Korea and Venezuela combined. And a range of Australian nationalist political activists have been banned from X. The bans were issued after two prominent figures appeared on AFL personality Sam Newman's podcast, which generated both significant interest and calls for cancellation. Many commentators have demanded that Elon Musk honour his commitment to free speech and restore the accounts.
Thanks, Jen. Now let's rewind a bit and hear from David Seymour on events at Waitangi this year. RCR's roving reporter Tane Webster caught up with the ACT Party leader yesterday at a media stand-up.
Yesterday, during your speech, your mic was taken away twice. What do you think that says about your political opponents and their belief and understanding of freedom of speech?
I'm always very careful not to blame a group of people for the actions of one. The person that did that is responsible for their actions. Everybody else, there are many other people actually trying to listen. And ultimately, speech went up on YouTube anyway, and it's been seen by far more people than just that guy.
As you know, RCR 360 debuted last night with a special focus on democracy. The episode featured two insightful interviews. First, Geoffrey Tucker, renowned political and economics commentator from the Brownstone Institute, sat down with RCR's Alastair Harding for a broad discussion covering history, current events, and the future.
So I'd like to go back to Donald Trump for a moment and maybe cast a critical eye. I do worry a little bit that there's a whole lot of headline grabbers and we're all cheering them on, but I also worry if there's something hidden underneath all of those executive orders.
Well, we can't rule it out, right? I mean, we need to stay ever vigilant and that sort of thing. But from what I can tell, he's waging war against the administrative state, which is the thing that has grown up over 100 years. I'm sure it exists in New Zealand, as it does all over the Western world, which, you know, about which the public was largely ignorant. I mean, it sort of crept into being gradually over decades and decades, and especially in the 21st century became this pressing, in effect, the government. I'm not sure how New Zealand's government is structured. Like, it's a Commonwealth country, so it's like a parliament. But in the U.S., we have the judiciary, we have the legislature, and we have the executive. We don't have a thing called the executive administrative state. But in effect, that is the real government that has been running us for a very long time. And Trump decided when the voters elected him to be president, he decided, I think this time I'm going to be president.
In the second interview, RCR's Murray Buskey spoke with Professor Elizabeth Rata about the intersection of democracy and education. Let's hear a snippet of that conversation now.
Restoring meritocracy, how important is that in our educational system today?
Absolutely important. We consider it essential in sport. Surely merit is important in education. Not everyone is good at everything. That's one of the things as young people we have to learn. That's the way of the world. But we must have an education system, especially universities, based on merit. So that is the challenge to children. You know, when you know that you can get better marks, that you can, and more importantly than the marks, that you can understand something that's quite difficult. I mean, there's a wonderful challenge in that. And that's the challenge that our children and young people are not getting at the moment.
Well, I hope you enjoyed those insights from two very brilliant minds. Now let's turn to Natalie with her end of the week update on all things RCR.
Thanks, Megan. Hello, everyone. It's Natalie here with The Signpost, your rundown of all the latest RCR news, views, and interviews. If you've missed anything this week, the weekend is the perfect time to catch up. First up, as you heard, our brand new feature show, RCR 360, premiered this week. We did have some technical difficulties due to an international tech outage last night, but the team worked tirelessly to get things back on track, and you can now watch the full episode of Democracy, live and ready for you on rcr.media. This week gone, Simon O'Connor sat down with Professor Paul Moon to uncover some fascinating Waitangi Day history secrets, a must-watch post-Waitangi Day. Meanwhile, Rodney Hyde spoke with Don Brash from Hobson's Pledge, and Paul Brennan caught up with realtor Janet Dixon, who is backed by Hobson's Pledge and the Free Speech Union, in her legal challenge against compulsory Māori tikanga training. Free Speech Union CEO Jonathan Ayling also joined Paul this week to break down the dangers of proposed hate crime laws. Over on Legal Hub, Katie Ashby-Coppins lifted the lid on her citizen petition to the US FDA, revealing concerns about DNA contamination in Pfizer and Moderna jabs. If you missed the COVID-19 inquiry webinar, the replay is now live. Across the ditch, the Wilms Report returned with Tim Wilms and Paul Brennan, unpacking Australia's National Day controversies and more. Media Matters is back as well. Marie and Marty kicked off 2025 with a deep dive into how the media is shaping New Zealand's political landscape, particularly around Waitangi Day. And for those keeping up with Oinky Lux, Kiwi Farm is back and episode 64 is an absolute fiasco. Coming soon, Marie sits down with political mega mind Trevor Loudon for a deep dive into the latest twists and turns on the Trump train. You won't want to miss that one. And Paul Brennan catches up with Greg Simons to unpack the situation in Gaza and Trump's broader approach to international relations, a must-listen for global affairs watchers. Alistair Harding's full interview with Grant Illingworth, KC, on the COVID inquiry drops soon. He's going deep into what phase two really means and what comes next, so don't miss that one. And finally, our brand new RCR 2.0 is live. Sign up. Free exclusive content at rcr.media. That's it from me. Have an amazing weekend, and I'll catch you on Monday. Megan, back to you.
That's a wrap for this week. We hope you enjoyed your first taste of the RCR Daily Brief and RCR 360. It's been an absolute pleasure bringing them to you. Be sure to catch up on any content that you may have missed over the weekend. As always, you'll find the links to all the interviews featured in today's episode below. Thanks for tuning in. Have an amazing weekend, and we'll catch you next week. Until then, see ya.